Good morning. In Romans chapter 7, Paul is having a dilemma. We know that Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He would have been a Pharisee. He lived under the law of Moses. He had much zeal for the law of Moses. But one fateful day, Christ came to him. And we see that Paul would have received Christ, and he would have become a Christian. And later, 2 years later, would be an apostle who would go throughout the world to many regions, to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and preach Christ. But in Romans 7, the church here in Rome is a unique one. It's a church that is mixed with Jews and Gentiles. And the dilemma that Paul is facing here is that he desires to serve the law of God, but he finds himself serving the law of sin. He desires to do what is good, but he finds himself doing what is wrong. But as he's writing here in Romans 7, he understands that the law of Moses, the old law, could not free him from sin. That it is only through Jesus Christ in which we can have our sins washed away. And so, the problem is exposed. The first problem, the law showed that what sin was, but it could not fix sin. It could not fix that problem. In Romans chapter 7, our main text, verse 13, Paul says, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. But to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Sin is the biggest problem. And without Christ, sin cannot be dealt with. If Christ would have not raised on the third day, brothers and sisters, we would be lost. We would be doomed to eternal punishment for eternity. But thankfully, Christ did raise on the third day. But when we look at the old law, the law of Moses, what we see is that the law pointed to what sin is, but it could not fix it. Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 7. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." If the law of Moses was faultless, if it showed what the problem is, and it could deal with the problem, then there would be no need for a new one, another law. There would be no need for Christ that had come down from the comforts of heaven to die for us. but the law could not. Going on down from verse 7 to verse 13 of Hebrews 8 there, in that he says a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Understanding, the old law is not bad. It's good. The old law is good. But still, through the old law, they could not find freedom from sin. Paul, in our main text, I am carnal. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal. We are flesh and blood. We won't be sinless. Never will be. If you have had a perfect day where you have not sinned, pull me aside after services and tell me how it feels, what it's like, because I have no clue. We have seen Paul. We have seen his human side come out, his fleshly side come out. Paul, even though he was an apostle, was not perfect. He was not sinless. He struggled. He was like the rest of us, flesh and blood. He had his struggles. But he is trying to deal with the Jews here, because if you go back to Romans 1 and Romans chapter 2, Paul deals with the Gentiles in chapter 1 and the sin that they are facing. And then he's dealing with the Jews in chapter 2 and what they're doing. And we see in chapter 2, the Jews who were to uphold the law found themselves telling the Gentiles and approving of what they were doing. They no longer were upholders of the law, but they disobeyed the law. They had rejected God and sought approval of man. And so the second problem, that brings up the second problem. No one could uphold the law of Moses perfectly. It was a burden. The Pharisees were putting a burden on the people that they could not bear. Even they themselves could not uphold the law of Moses perfectly. And then they would not use one of their fingers to lift that burden from them. But they couldn't. On top of the law, they would add their traditions on top of the law. Once again, they themselves could not uphold. We cannot uphold our sins. We cannot take away our own sins. We cannot uphold the new covenant, the new law which we live under perfectly. We won't. God understood. He understands that we won't be sinless, but that's why he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, down here to die for us. In Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We need to understand, there was a curse. The works of the law are under the curse. Could everyone uphold the law? No, we could not. But thankfully, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When he was put on that cross, he became that curse. He took everyone's sins upon himself. And he took the sins far away. It is only through Christ in which we can find freedom from this curse, that we can find freedom from sin. Once again, when we look at the law of Moses, it wasn't faultless, and no one could uphold it. But if it was faultless, if everyone could uphold it, then Christ died in vain, which we know is not true. And so this is the dilemma that he's dealing with. He desires to fulfill and uphold the law of God, but he finds himself doing the opposite. The flesh is weak. The flesh desires sin. And there is, whether you know it or not, there is a constant battle going on every day within ourselves between our spirit and between the flesh. And it's a hard battle. It's a battle that cannot be won without Christ. Staying in Galatians and going to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And this isn't the only list of sin that we see. We also see in 1 Corinthians 6. But Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so here are the works of the flesh. They are evident. We see this sin being named in this list. The people who continue in these sins, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Once again, when writing to the Galatians, not a perfect church. They were not sinless. They had sin running through them. But going back in the same chapter, Galatians 5, to verses 16 and 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I say then, walk in the Spirit." How does one walk in the Spirit? By obeying, by being faithful and obedient in God and His Word. You know, I often tell people, you know, we have this battle. And let me tell you, sin, it strikes. We have those desires, whether it be lust, whether it be anger, whatever it may be, it comes upon us. And if we are not prepared, if we do not run to God, we have that blessing to run to Him in times of trouble, in times of stress. We have that blessing, and yet do we do it? I'll tell you, I don't sometimes. My parents gave me the nickname Rockhead. They would call me Rockhead, and there's a reason why for that. I was stubborn. I didn't listen. And I still find myself being a rockhead, being stubborn sometimes. But let me tell you, when you run to God, it makes things a whole lot better. Doesn't make it easier, but it makes it better. Because now we have God who helps. You know, we are given the Spirit when we are baptized. The Spirit there is for us. It guides us, doesn't it? It guides us through God's Word. We have the tools. We have the help we need. Yet, do we use them? Do we run to them? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, once again, here's a command from Paul to the Galatians. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not that easy. It's easier said than done. Because we see here in Paul in Romans 7, he's struggling with that idea. Man, I desire to follow the law of God, but I don't. I do what's wrong. I do what's sinful. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things you wish. That battle that's going on between the Spirit and the flesh, We do the things that we wish we wouldn't do. But understanding this war can be won if we just control our minds. Because this is where the battle begins. If Satan wins your mind, if sin wins your mind, you're going to lose. Because in Romans chapter 8, one chapter over from Romans 7, verses 5 through 8, this is what Paul has to say. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We see here, we know Paul, he desires the law of God, but he does what's wrong. Once again, it all starts up here in the mind. If our minds are set on things of the flesh, guess what? You're going to lose. You're going to lose these battles that you have daily. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, guess what? Those who are spiritually minded will have life and peace. And isn't that true? Those who obey God, those who live to obey His word, to be faithful to Him, who set their minds on spiritual things. We go back to Christ's teachings, simple teachings, right? Don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Those who focus on building treasures up in heaven, on earth, they're going to be focused on spiritual things. They're going to be focused on that hope that we have of eternal life. Their main priority is, how can I get to heaven? Well, I understand it is only through Christ and being faithful and obedient to Him and His word. It starts with our mind. That's where sin starts. We get that thought, we get whatever may come, we see with our eyes. That's why it's important that we protect our eyes. Because what we see will influence what we think, what we feel. It does. It's amazing how it works. The brain is the most powerful organ in the human body. The mind is so powerful. It's brilliant. Brilliant creation. I mean, you can tell. You study the human mind, there's so much to it. And even now, today, scientists are still learning things about the human brain. At one point, people believed that you could only use, that a normal human being could only use 10%. Well, now it is suggested that we can use more of that. It's not just the geniuses. We do use more than 10% of our brain. It's amazing how over time, the more studying they do in the brain, they learn new things. It's truly amazing. And that's why Satan wants to control your mind. That's why he wants to win your mind, because once he has it, you're going to be doing what is not right, what is not good. And that's why it's so important that we fill our minds with God's word. That's why it's important when we pray to God, give me wisdom, give me strength, give me patience, whatever you need, and he will give it to you. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who live and give into the desires of the flesh, you can't please God because your mind belongs to the world. It belongs to sin. You're not going to be thinking about doing what God's word says. You won't even care. If Satan can win our minds, then we will give into the flesh and its desires. And so what's the ultimate solution here? What is the ultimate solution? Going back to our main text here in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 21. If I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. It is only through Jesus Christ. He is the only solution to helping us win this battle, winning this struggle. He's the only solution. There is no other solution to winning this. We see in John, places like John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What's Christ saying here? I'm the only way. I'm the only truth and the life. It is only through Christ in which we can find truth. It is only through Christ that we can find life. And it is only Christ in which he's the only way to the Father, to heaven. So many have allowed Satan to win their minds and they believe there are many ways to God. There are not. Even under the old law. And there are still Jews this day who hold to the old law. Guess what? They won't find salvation. They reject Christ. Even today, they reject Christ. How sad. Very sad indeed. That they are choosing their own wants and desires. The blood is the only thing that can wash away our sins. The blood of Christ. As we see in Hebrews, the writer tells the Hebrews, the blood of bulls and goats, guess what? Can't do anything. It can't take away the sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is a reassurance for us as well, for the Christians here today, that as long as we are walking in the light, understanding you're not going to be sinless, but as long as you strive, we are called to strive to be as Christ was. Doesn't mean we'll get there, but as long as we strive and we push forward daily, that we will continue to have that sacrifice, which is the blood of Christ, washing us away, as long as we come and repent when we do fall. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. When Christ brought on the Lord's Supper before his death, the bread which represents his body and the blood which represents his blood. That same blood, when we are washed, when we are baptized, immersed, we make contact with that blood, and the blood of Christ washes away our sins. The old self, the old man is buried and dead and gone. Because we understand when we come to repent, we have changed our mind. We have completely put away and disowned the old self. Paul understood. Because in the previous chapter in Romans 6, he talks about what baptism is. And so many times before, he preached Christ. And many would come and were baptized for the remission of sins, walking in newness of life, and would remain faithful. Doesn't mean they would be perfect. Does not mean they'd be sinless. Yes, the flesh will always desire, but our mind, our spirit must overcome those desires of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it's hard every day. Absolutely. We will have battles that we lose. And so, application. We need to understand that we ourselves will not be sinless. But through Christ, we know that we will have salvation. We have that assurance that we will keep that salvation as long as we are in Christ. Two, understanding that we must walk in the light. We must walk in the Spirit. How does one do that? By keeping their head in Scripture. Having a prayer life. Remaining faithful and obedient in Christ in all things. So many put away God's word. The only time they ever hear or see it is when they come to worship. No, we have to be in it daily. Once again, if a soldier goes without his weapon, he won't survive too long in war. If we carried our Bibles like we do our phones, you would see a big change in your life. And I know I carry my phone everywhere, but imagine if we carried Scripture around with us like that. And so the problem is that the old law could not take away sin. No one could uphold the law of Moses perfectly. So God sent his son down here to fix the problem. And that problem is sin. And I thank God every day that he sent his son. And that it is through his son only that we can have our sins washed away. It is only through the blood of Christ. It is not through a simple prayer. It's not just simply believing. It's nonsense. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, understand that simply just believing and just confessing is not enough. You must be washed. You must be immersed for the remission of your sins. That is the only way to make make contact with the blood of Christ this morning. And if you have questions, feel free to find me. And so this is how you need to do it. You must hear the word which has been preached to you. You must believe that word which has been preached to you. Then you must repent, change one's mind, change your life, putting away, disowning your old self. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. How important is it if we say we believe in Christ and we don't make a confession about it? Then we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Once again, making contact with the blood of Christ, being buried with him in his death, burial, and raising up in newness of life. But it doesn't just stop there. We must remain faithful, and that means we must continue forth, walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, as Christ did. Or if you are a Christian and you have lost that battle, understand there's still time now to come forward and to renew your walk with Christ. Don't wait. Because one day the trumpets will sound and Christ will reappear. Or even if before that, you could die at any moment. And if you die lost in your sins, there's no hope for you. So if you're here this morning and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.